Satanic Tech City USA Radio, brought to you by Hallmark College and Bjorn's. Our program is produced by John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty, San Antonio's most listened to realtor. The views of the hosts and guests are their own and not those of KLUP or Salem Communications. It's time for Tech City USA Radio.
And good morning and welcome here to the Systemic Tech City USA Radio program here. And I'm John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty. And as usual, we have a phenomenal program for you. And if you're out there, if you want to, you got friends and relatives that you'd like to protect themselves on Cyber Monday, you might want to get on the phone, tell folks that they can listen to this program at KLUP.com, listen live, because our program today is really, really special as we go into the fall holidays here. And people are out there shopping online. Okay, and we got Bjorn online? Okay, we'll be getting Bjorn in just a little bit here. So, we want to talk about cyber stuff, man. That stuff over at Bjorn's is on the line. Okay, good morning, Bjorn.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you answer? You haven't answered my question.
I'm going to try and get over there.
Okay, all right. That's all I need to know. If you're here, you're here. All right. But okay. Bjorn, I don't know what happened this morning. You know, it's usually as the program is coming on the air, the sun comes out. and Bjorn comes on, and it's and that's a signal of a bright day. But I have a feeling that it's going to be a brighter day because the sun isn't shining, and people can go to Bjorn's for those really specials.
Let me fill you in on some things that happened in the last couple of days. First of all, our catalog is finished. Our winter catalog is ready to go. And if you're on our mailing list, you will be getting that in the mail this coming week. The for those of you who aren't on the mailing list, why aren't you? So to get on it, go to our website, bjorns.com, bjorns.com, and register, and we won't overload your mailbox. But it will be up on our website in digital format early next week. Now, Black Friday, I think everybody may be tired of hearing about Black Friday because it started a month ago for a lot of places. We're not going to be open on Thanksgiving. That's for our families. I mean, that's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. But we will open early on Friday, like an hour earlier than normal.
We're going to That's open, early for you, Bjorn.
It is. But for those of you who are here early that morning at 9 o'clock.
Early?
On Friday, okay. Black Friday, we're going to have tacos from Taco Cabana, coffee, orange juice. We want you to enjoy yourself when you're out shopping. So come on by on Friday if you're out on Friday. But in the meantime, guess what? We're open today. We're open tomorrow. We're open through Wednesday. And we've got lots of great things, lots of great toys. And we've got all sorts of great gift ideas for the holidays. So, by the way, we just got the Ultimate Theater Room back up and functioning because we did some changes in there. And last night, before I went home, I put on Man of Steel and watched it for about 20 minutes, and it was goosebump time. So come on by, check it out, including with the D-Box chairs, John.
Okay, all right.
Okay? Yeah.
My wife would say you just cut me off, but go ahead.
I did.
Yeah, all right.
I will see you probably within less than an hour.
Okay.
And so if you're out and about, you've never been to Bjorn's, if you're going north on 281, take the Winding Way exit. If you're coming south, take the Bitters Road exit, and you're at Bjorn's.
Just Bjorn's. Okay, thank you, Bjorn, and have a really great day. We'll see you here in a little bit. And I just want to reiterate there, Bjorn has been a pillar of this community for, you know, since God invented dirt. And so y'all need to go have a look at some of the really goodies that he's got going there. Thank you, Bjorn. Have a really great day. Cliff Zetgraf is going to be bringing our program today, but let's talk just a little bit before we move on about Hallmark College, because they're one of our major, major sponsors. So what? Tell us, Cliff, what do they do?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. And Hallmark College is one of our lead sponsors, really kind of the rock of our program. We want to thank them and let everyone know they have programs in aeronautics, allied health, business, information technology, and security. You can learn more at www.hallmarkcollege.edu.
Now, what is Cyber Monday all about, and what's the hoopla? Why is it in red in our ad Business Journal?
I am going to let these gentlemen here explain what Cyber Monday is. Let me real quick before we do that thank a couple other sponsors we have for this show. Route 9B, dynamic provider of cybersecurity, advanced technology training capabilities, operational support, and consulting services. We thank Route 9B for their support.
Also, and Mike Morris is going to be on the Movers and Shakers in 2 weeks.
All right. And all right. Also, Stem Biosys manufactures, develops novel proprietary stem cell technologies to meet the promise of regenerative medicine and
whatever that means.
Surging global market. It means they're going to make us all better.
Okay. Make us, we're going to be more better, huh? I'm sorry, my English teacher.
Make us feel better.
Okay, no, and Cy Giffey is going to be on the Movers and Shakers today.
All right. Who is? Who's
Cy Giffey, the Chief Operating Officer of Stem Biosys.
Of Stem Biosys will
be on our Movers and Shakers program.
Movers and Shakers at 10 o'clock this morning. But at 9:09, who we have here is Elliot Franklin, the President of Alamo ISSA.
He's also been here before.
Yes, and Jeff Jaime, CEO of Taurian, that's T-A-U-R-E-A-N, Taurian, and Red Thomas, the CEO of Red Knight, and that's Knight with a K. So, gentlemen, welcome very much to Tech City USA. Thank you for being here.
Thanks
this
for
morning.
Having us.
This
Great
morning.
To have you here.
All right, so here is my first question for this group. Our name of our show is Protecting Yourself on Cyber Monday. Let's not assume our listeners know what Cyber Monday is. Many, I'm sure, do. But what is Cyber Monday?
So Cyber Monday was started by some marketing companies to persuade people to shop online. It first debuted in November of 2005, and it's now recognized by 10 countries across the world. And they say it's quickly becoming one of the biggest online shopping days of the year. So it's a big concentration of online shopping activity, dubbed Cyber Monday, and it's really catching on.
Yeah. Do we know how big, you know, like how much is being sold or the growth rates or anything like that for Cyber Monday? I've heard it's like growing like by 13% this year, getting bigger by 13%.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to surpass the Black Friday sales this year, so that's going to be very interesting. Folks, you know, after Thanksgiving, go back to work, and they haven't got enough shopping on Black Friday, so they head to the computers and take more deals on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. We actually had a theory, didn't we, that there's this reason that Cyber Monday has been, shall we say, created? Yes. What was our theory? Something about marketing and branding. Right, we were talking that you know, we think Cyber Monday is you know, basically a creation of the marketing folks, because
absolutely.
You know, when Black Friday is over, we need some place to go online on Monday.
More
yes.
sales, that's right.
Yeah.
Right, well, and that whole dynamic is pronounced by the fact that there are the first time in 10 years there are only 26 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So there's going to be an escalation of shopping activity across the board.
Yeah, yeah, fewer days.
Would you explain a little bit more about what that means? I mean, is that you're compressing more shopping into a shorter period of time, or what does that mean?
So after Thanksgiving, you know, typically people go out and shop, and so that's true. They start shopping online on Cyber Monday. So with fewer amounts of days to shop before Christmas, which that date doesn't change, so everybody's going to be inspired to do as much shopping in as fast amount of time as they can.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving comes later.
My
this
wife
year.
Will be in heaven if she gets to shop intensely, but go ahead.
All right. So that, and so for our listeners, that first person talking is Jeff Jaime, CEO of Taurian. So Jeff, say hi to everybody so they'll recognize your voice.
Hello.
Out there. Very nice. And that was also Elliot Franklin speaking next, president of Alamo ISSA. Which I forgot to throw this little tidbit in. I picked up my my college freshman daughter from the airport this morning at 4:45. She's not really feeling very well. We're driving home, and she points out the window and says, "Dad, Whataburger." because she lives somewhere where there is no Whataburger. And Elliot, you are the IS manager, yes? What's your title?
Right, yeah, I'm the information security manager at Whataburger Restaurants.
At Whataburger Restaurants, yes. Yep. So I let him know that whether he really liked it or not, I was going to be making that point. But it's interesting for our listeners because, even Whataburger has significant concerns.
Absolutely.
Right?
We've got to protect our customers' credit cards and their information.
Absolutely. So speaking of that and thinking about it in terms of Cyber Monday, what is going to happen? So Cyber Monday, people are going to start logging in. They're going to start buying products. And unfortunately, some small but significant percentage, meaningful percentage of those people are going to be hacked. So what is going to happen to them? How are they going to be hacked when they do this?
Well, I think a lot of folks are going to get get an email with a great bargain that they can't refuse for that $50 iPad or something. They're going to click on the link, and they're going to get malware loaded on their computer. And I think that's probably one of the number one ways that folks are going to get hacked over Cyber Monday.
Okay, what other ways?
Well, one of the things that folks need to worry about is, especially with Cyber Monday, is a lot of people are signing in to buy things from like Amazon, websites like that have like one-click purchase options. And, what a lot of people don't realize is being hacked a lot of times is just a case of identity theft, and it could be something as simple as your kids logging into your computer and buying stuff without you realizing that they have that sort of access. So what it really, as parents, you need to do is pay attention to websites that have those sorts of options and either disable them or just make sure your kids don't have access to them.
All right. And that's Red Thomas, CEO of Red Knight. And so everybody has heard all of our voices and names now, can put them together on the air. One of the items I'm looking at on my list is stay away from fishy looking websites. How do you know?
Did you solicit it? I mean, a lot of times you get emails from folks that you didn't solicit. So, that's probably the number one way to know if it was a hack is if it's a website that you didn't go to and you didn't ask for the email, chances are it's not legitimate.
Okay, so that's one way. Are there other ways to tell if a website looks fishy?
Well, certainly, you can look for the lock in the browser, but a lot, even the criminals know how to duplicate that as well. So again, if you get an email that says you should go to a certain website for this great bargain, don't click on the link in it. Just go to Google and go to the address there from Google. Go directly to the website. Don't click on the link.
Yeah,
right.
Because they know how to make the website look exactly like the other one.
Right, and you might start getting some manufactured emails that make it look real. Like we want to help you with Cyber Monday. We want to verify your credit card information is correct so it minimizes the delays of shopping. Click here so we can help you do that. And so anytime you click on something, it's probably not a good thing.
And also remember that folks, they'll call you back on the phone, too, to verify your purchase, and they may ask for, the last four of your credit card or that security code because they want to steal that information. So, again, if you get those, it can happen just as easy over the phone on Cyber Monday or the day after.
Right.
Also look at grammatical syntax. A lot of times these are foreigners, non-Americans, non-native English-speaking people that are doing this. So a lot of times the grammatical syntax will be wrong or, there will just be a lot of misspellings. Large corporations hire people to do this. That's their job, and they use spell check. So you won't find very many spelling errors on legitimate emails.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that one a lot, where it sort of half looks like LinkedIn is one I remember in particular. Half looks like LinkedIn.
Yeah, Cliff, early as we were planning the program, you mentioned just what you just said, LinkedIn. And that's one that I think everybody has come to know to trust. And yet you really shouldn't even, I think, y'all were talking a little bit earlier about it's still a good idea to go to the website. Don't click on the link in an email.
Yeah.
I don't think you can emphasize that enough.
No, you can't. And I'll just be transparent about what I was talking about earlier. Maybe for the first time in 6 years, I had an email come in. It said somebody wanted to connect with me on LinkedIn, and I clicked the button. And I shouldn't have. It was not a legitimate website. Now, you'll all be glad to know I ran a deep virus scan, et cetera, and everything was fine. But, I have something of a background in this space, a little bit, and even I, was fooled by something. And so it's easy, that's something maybe all of our listeners should keep in mind is that, you shouldn't, feel bad if, these things are confusing. I mean, they're even confusing to people who have been in the space a lot. So this is Systemic Tech City USA Radio Show, KLOOP 930 Talk Radio. We are with Elliot Franklin, President, Alamo ISSA, Jeff Jaime, CEO of Torian, Red Thomas, CEO of Red Knight. And I want to let everyone know about something new we're doing at Systemic. We now have the Systemic Geek Bus. The Systemic Geek Bus. This is in cooperation with Rackspace and the 8020, the Geekdom 8020 Foundation. We have essentially taken over operation of the Geek Bus. We're going to be cleaning it up. We're going to be loading it up with computers, and then we're going to put a driver on it and drive it around to schools in the San Antonio area. Kind of encouraged students, elementary, middle school, high school students to engage in STEM topics, science, technology.
Is that for like war driving or something like that?
And math. For war driving, that's like war dialing you're referring to? Yes. War driving of a good nature. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. We want to get as many students in this area as we can, because San Antonio has built a knowledge economy, but it's not big enough yet. We want more of a knowledge economy. We want more citizens in our community participating in this knowledge economy, right? And all of these good jobs. We're going to be talking in the bottom half of the hour, actually, about the some of the education implications, right? Because this is a show about economic development and education, and here we're talking about shopping, right? We're going to talk in the bottom half of the hour about what are the implications of this for education and the businesses that these gentlemen are in. So actually, let's talk about that specifically just for a moment. I'm just going to go around the table. I want each of you to maybe give a little bit more about, you know, who you are, just a small snippet, and who you represent. You know, maybe about 30, 45 seconds each.
Sure. Please. Again, I'm Elliot Franklin with Alamo ISSA. That's Information Systems Security Association. So we are a group of cybersecurity professionals that meet for networking and educational activities. And we also participate in Cyber Patriot and the Collegiate Cyber Defense Competition. Our goal is to help the community, educate the community. We also do free lunch and learns for any, you know, school, church, PTA, business that wants to call us or email us. We'd love to come out and do an hour presentation to help teach you and your employees how to stay safe online, how to protect your kids online. And so that's something we like to give back to the community as well. And certainly encourage, we work with universities on their curriculum as well to try to get more folks into the cyber field, because we have a negative unemployment rate here in San Antonio for cyber. We need more cyber individuals.
And this is a topic, I'll highlight that, because a topic that we talk about a lot on this show. It's very important to connect education and economic development, and to do that, we need professionals helping, you know, advise with curriculum. We need industry providing all sorts of support for the things that are going on in education. So thank you for doing that work. Please introduce Torian to us, please, and yourself.
I'm Jeff Jaime, CEO, founder of Torian, as you said. We've been around. We're a service-disabled vet-owned small business, been around 5.5 years. Headquarters here in San Antonio, we're across 7 states now. We've only grown to about 48 people now, but it's been a great experience so far. We also contribute to things like Cyber Patriot Mentorship. One of my favorite employees with regard to this topic is Ricky Banda. He pretty much consumes all of our volunteer time for contributing to Cyber Patriot. He's a well-known name around the city. Great story. Just a really solid kid with a good background. And he inspires all of us. And so we do that for education and benefits, kind of the point that Red made earlier. Sometimes the kids are the ones getting on these computers doing shopping, and the more you educate them, the better, you know, in theory you'd be safer at home. So we primarily do a lot of security deployments across the Department of Defense, mostly doing monitoring of internet traffic coming and going from the DOD to the internet proper, and that's just an expanded role, and we continue to see it growing.
Yeah, and we've had Ricky on the show. Ricky's what, 20, 21 years old?
Just turned 20 last week.
Just turned 20 last week. He's a product of one of the programs we talk about, the IT and Security Academy, connected to the Alamo Area Academies. He was a Cyber Patriot participant, which is the local cybersecurity competition. I think we have about 80 teams this year or something like that in Cyber Patriot. And he just got finished not being a student but a teacher of middle school students. So now we're working backwards, sort of creating the farm system for Cyber Patriot, right?
Mm-hmm. One of our and that's great that you added that. One of our core values in our company is giving back to others. We do that by allowing everybody or promoting everybody to contribute at least 4 hours paid per week to go do something good for the community. We do that with Cyber Patriot. We do that mentoring the Roy Moss kids for Youth Alternatives. So it's really spreading goodness throughout the community and education.
That's awesome. Another great example of industry and education working together and just doing the right thing as a citizen of the community. So please introduce Red Knight for us.
Yeah, sure. I'm Red Thomas, CEO of Red Knight. Red Knight's a relatively new company, but we do a lot of work with the Department of Defense as well. We specialize in IT and intelligence-type contracting for the DoD. We also are sponsoring a team, a Cyber Patriot team, Lutheran High School here in San Antonio, and we're really pretty proud to be doing that. Looking around, though, I'm pretty sure I was invited on the show for comedic relief. I'm not sure I have a lot more to contribute.
Well, that hat you're wearing makes you stand out here on the show, and we actually saw that hat when I was looking you up on the website earlier, so it was very appropriate. I recognized you immediately when I walked in the door this morning. So, and I like the hat.
My public image guy tells me that's what we're supposed to do, is always look the part.
Always look the part. Very nice. So, but I want to come back. You know, we were talking about ways people are going to get hacked on Cyber Monday. Right. And I want to come back to a few of these and talk about them. So one is change up your passwords. And I got to tell you, I got mixed feelings about this one a little bit. And you're all, I'm saying that, but I'm giving you the opportunity to correct me, because I hate trying to remember my dumb passwords.
Well, Elliot and I were actually just talking about that, because there's some products out there that you can get that will allow you to store your passwords. So it's a vault, and whenever you go to a website, it just automatically loads that password for you. And of course, there's some debate in the community, I think, on whether or not that's a good thing. I think Elliot and I both agree that that's probably...
Yeah, there's certainly risk associated with everything, but having them all stored in one place is certainly a risk, but it's encrypted, and again, it allows you to use super complex passwords as well, and you don't have to remember them for all 100 sites you go to.
So what is your advice for people, though, in just how they set their passwords, right? I mean, you just said it. Super makes you super complex.
Right.
Well, you know what? I can't remember my super complex passwords,
exactly.
Right? So what is some best practices that people can use for password setting?
Well, I certainly think that, there's passphrases, right, where you can take the first letter of a song that you like or something, the first letter of each word, and you can make a passphrase out of it, and it can still be complex. But again, if you use one of these vault services, and they're free, most of them are free because they have, pop-up ads, you can use those services, like LastPass is one of them that you can use, and they'll store all your passwords. They'll generate very complex passwords, and yet you only have to remember the one to get into the site, and then it'll generate the ones for all the rest of your sites, so you don't have to remember.
One point to consider here, which you made some really good ones, don't replace the A with an at sign. Those are common, or the S with a dollar sign. Those are common libraries that hackers are putting into their tool set to kind of just skim through quickly, and it makes it easier for them to guess.
Another one that I see on the list here also is don't click on fake e-cards.
Absolutely. That's especially around this time of year. If
you... Yeah, that struck me as one of particular relevance at the moment. So, John, how are you at having
you always
good
come to me when
passwords?
When a puzzled look on my face. Okay, when I hear you, at least they look at me once in a while, which is a good thing. If I have a vault, don't I only need to crack the vault in order to if I have a password to get into my vault, then now they got all of my passwords.
Sure, and that's the debate, right, is the risk.
Okay, and then, and all of the things that you're saying here, I'll be getting a lot of e-cards, and we all will now, and if the e-card doesn't open up as, I've got the e-card, don't click on something, right?
Right. If it doesn't open up on the screen for you, or you can hover over the link and see where it's really going to take you, if it's going to take you to the legitimate site or not.
All right. Yeah. Well, once again, it's going to be time for a break here, our news break here on the Systemic Tech City USA radio program. Again, we got a whole lot more information that's provided generally by the Phantom here on the second half hour of this program. So if you've got friends and relatives out there, give them a call. Tell them to tune in to KLUP.com and listen to the Tech City USA radio program by Systemic, right here in San Antonio, Texas.
KLUP. How do you get to the heart of the San Antonio business community? With the San Antonio Business Journal. Whether you're looking to learn about, network with, or reach the decision makers that drive San Antonio, the San Antonio Business Journal is your essential business tool. The San Antonio Business Journal has the inside scoop on all that's happening in the San Antonio marketplace. Join the network today of over 57,000 readers who use the Business Journal for local news, in-depth industry coverage, insights, and information. Call 341-3202 to start your 5-week free trial subscription. And when you advertise with the Business Journal, you gain instant presence and added credibility with the business community. 65% of the Business Journal subscribers hold top management positions. Get the attention of these important people and get results. Keep your finger on the pulse of the San Antonio business community and make the San Antonio Business Journal your medium for success today. Call 341-3202. That's 341-3202.
Hi, this is Christine Hensley with Scobie Moving and Storage. Scobie has been in San Antonio for nearly 100 years. Scobie has been helping folks in San Antonio since 1913. We're best known for our long-distance moves, but we also do local moves, too, big or small. Scobie moves people across the city, across the state, the country, and around the world. Moving your office? Scobie can do that, too. Are you starting to get the idea? When you have a move and you want it done right, call Scobie at 828-8393. I think you'll find our service is unbeatable and our price is extremely competitive. Scobie is fully insured, so your items are safe and sound. We also offer short and long-term storage if that's what you need. And for your really big projects, we have a heavy haul and rigging division. So call 828-8393 and let me give you a free estimate. That's 828-8393 for Scobie Moving and Storage.
9:30, KLUP.
Hi, I'm Ron Aaron. And I'm Navarro Williams.
Up next on Overcoming Homelessness with Sam Ministries.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Syrian activists say a string of government airstrikes on rebel-held areas in the north killed at least 44 people. The director of the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the deadliest of the three raids Saturday was the attack in the rebel-held town of Al-Bab near the northern city of Aleppo. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and other top diplomats are heading into a tough round of negotiations in Geneva, where six world powers are trying to reach a deal with Iran over its nuclear program. U.N. climate talks deadlocked today as the U.S. and China clash over what role the Chinese and other fast-growing economies should play in a new pact to fight global warming. Disputes over climate aid for poor countries also overshadowed the Warsaw conference as it stretched a full day beyond its scheduled end time. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week on a strong note. It was up 55 points on Friday. More details at SRNnews.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Aaron.
And I'm Navarro Williams.
Up next. Hi, I'm Ron Aaron.
And I'm Navarro Williams.
Up next on Overcoming Homelessness with Sam Ministries, we talk to a neat youngster, Anthony, who's at the Transitional Living and Learning Center run by Sam. What a story.
Yeah, he's a neat kid. He's actually in an advanced program in high school, and it's going to be great to hear all about him.
Premier school. I never heard of it. He graduates a 4-year degree in 2 years from a local high school. What a great story. You'll hear it on the next Overcoming Homelessness with Sam Ministries, 8 a.m. Sunday on News Talk 930 KLUP.
Here are a few things to remember when winning on KLUP. Please, only one winner per household within 30 days. Winners must be over 18 years of age and have a valid picture ID. You must claim your prize within 10 business days between 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 9601 McAllister Freeway, Suite 1200. Let's have fun and keep listening for your chance to win on News Talk 930 KLUP, The Loop.
KLUP.
Welcome back to the Tech City USA radio program here on News Talk 930 KOTBP. John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty, and I'm going to just tell you what an incredible time to buy real estate in San Antonio. Look me up at heartoftexasrealty.com. And, of course, our program today is Systemic Tech City USA Radio, and we're talking all about this stuff of what's going to happen on Cyber Monday. And Cliff Zentgraff has got some new questions for us here.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Systemic Tech City USA. We're here with Elliot Franklin, president of Alamo ISSA. Jeff Jaime, CEO of Torian, and Red Thomas, CEO of Red Knight. And we just got finished talking about the different ways that people who are shopping on Cyber Monday are going to get hacked, unfortunately. We wish we could prevent it, but we can't completely. Also on Cyber Monday and on Black Friday and the day before and the day after and so on, people are going to be buying new gadgets, okay? They're going to be buying smartphones. They're going to be buying televisions, you know, sort of old style and new style televisions, shall we say. They're going to be buying laptops, tablets, PCs, e-readers, MP3 players, game consoles, digital cameras, and GPS systems, okay? And all of these things have some degree of risk of not being secure. So gentlemen, what would you all be worried about if somebody is buying one of these devices? How would you, for example, advise them to secure their smartphone? How would you advise them to not have something happen with their laptop? Is an e-reader vulnerable, and what can you do about it?
Well, I would just throw out there, the first thing is, look, when Apple just released their newest version of iOS for the iPhone, they did a scan of all their devices and showed that only half, 50% of users even had a simple four-digit PIN on their phone, again, to protect their data on the phone if it's lost or stolen. The criminal can just pick it up and can go right to your banking application or your contacts. And so the first thing I would say is, if you're buying anyone in your family a smartphone, at least put a four-digit, you know, password on it, so if somebody picks it up, they can't get into it.
So you can give them two presents. You can give them a phone, and you can give them a PIN already programmed into that phone, you know, assuming it was turned on before. But so, okay. And that's interesting, because sometimes, especially as technology people, we get wrapped up in the cool stuff, you know, and it's really just the basics.
It is.
Right? It's just the basics.
Well, I would say also, if you're not using Bluetooth, disable it, because it's a really vulnerable protocol. Of course, a lot of phones, modern phones now, are doing a pretty good job of disabling it when it's not in use, or syncing it with a product and only enabling it when it's supposed to be used. The other thing would be, like, new products, like, you know, the Pebble Watch, stuff like that that's just brand new. We don't know what the vulnerabilities are on that yet. So, you know, when you buy a product like that, pay attention to the website, you know, keep going back and rereading on it every so often, find out if there are any vulnerabilities and any updates that you need to apply.
Right.
Kind of to Red's point, throughout, you know, marketing strategies and sales cycles, the vendors want to sell something that makes it easy for the average consumer to just turn on and use. And there's a cost to that. There's a security cost to that. So things that are enabled by default are oftentimes not secure. So, you know, a lot of people don't know that there's a web server running on the brand new printer they just bought. And then that has, you know, problems potentially. So I think it's worth the time up front to invest in checking the settings and making sure you turn off things that are just enabled by default, kind of like the Bluetooth, for example.
Yeah, and so and same thing goes when you get that new PlayStation or that new gaming console, right? They all have wireless internet on there, and, you know, there's vulnerabilities there. And as far as those games, you can buy additional, you know, game levels, you can buy outfits, you can buy weapons. And so the parents just need to know, when you're registering that game console on the internet, you're usually putting in your credit card to set up the account. And you need to be aware that, you know, you need to protect that and maybe put a password on it so that your children can't just continue to buy things through that gaming console.
Yeah, and the game consoles, you know, that should be a particular interest to our listeners. I mean, my gosh, how many kids out there, you know, if my son's awake, I'm pretty sure I know what he's doing.
Right.
It's not just the consoles either.
Hi, Matt, if you're awake. Good morning.
But the PC games, you know, one of the really popular models right now for massively multiplayer online games is this, what they call free-to-play, which is where the game is completely free. Yeah, it's just that, like Elliot was saying, there's a cash shop where you buy additional stuff. And companies like Sony are even creating opportunities for users to generate their own content and pay them back for it in real money. But, of course, the portion of that is that you've got to register a W-2 with the company. So, you know, there's a lot of potential for identity theft going on there as well, especially in companies like Sony that have been hacked in the past. So just be aware of what data you have out there.
So can you explain what a massively multiplayer online game is? Maybe some folks out there who don't know what that is.
Oh, sure. So most folks have heard of games like EverQuest, World of Warcraft, games like that. Massive multiplayer, basically, it was a coin turned by Richard Garriott, a guy that lives up here in Austin, actually, an old gaming pioneer. And it basically, it's a game where there's hundreds of thousands of people logged into a single server at one time playing the game with each other, as opposed to back in the day when, you know, the most you could have in a game is maybe 4 or 16 people, you know, and they were shooting each other. You know, MMOs are typically role-playing games for the most part. That's where you see them a lot.
That's where you see them. And I think some people would find it kind of wild, I guess, that you could, like, create things in those games and people would pay you in some sort of weird virtual currency, and then that currency can be converted.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, to dollars, right?
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you got real money.
And that's a big market right now, too, right? Because a lot of folks buy these new games, and they work off of levels. So, like, you have power leveling services and stuff like that. And a lot of these websites, just so folks know, are not legitimate. They're not nowhere even remotely legal, and a lot of times they're rampant with identity theft. So steer clear of that sort of stuff.
That topic reminds me of years ago when my sons were young teenagers. They saw an opportunity, and I was proud being an entrepreneur. I saw them; they were actually building these features inside these games, so other people can buy off them and save them time to level up. So I said, "Well, keep doing that." You know, they were showing their little entrepreneur little wings there. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's really cool, and that's actually one of really our goals. That's like a systemic. I mean, you know, sort of near and dear to our heart, right, is, you know, the idea of teaching entrepreneurial skills. Of the other things on this list, are there any that concern you in particular? I mean, we talked about smartphones, but we didn't talk about TVs. We didn't really maybe talk about e-readers or MP3 players, digital cameras.
Well, most of those all, I mean, they all have computers inside of them. They're all running operating systems just like, you know, your computer. And so you need to be, you know, like the incident in Houston with the webcam, right? If you're buying a wireless monitor for your baby and it's a web monitor, and again, to your point, it needs to be easy to use. And so there's no password on it by default. Well, there's risk with that, right? Somebody can drive by and view the camera of your baby in their crib. And so, you know, when you buy it, you need to put a password on it when you install it, and all of those, the e-readers, again, you can need to put a password on them, a PIN to unlock them, you know, if there's information that you don't want stolen off of those. There's also, you know, antivirus for a lot of those. If you get a tablet, you know, Android tablet, you need to install free antivirus on there, like Lookout, just to help protect yourself, so that when you click on those links, if it's a phishing link, hopefully it'll be blocked.
So, you know, those things, those ads you see on TV where it says four out of five doctors recommend X, Y, or Z, right? We're going to do that now with our information security professionals sitting here at the table. So Red, what antivirus program do you use?
I actually use Norton because I like their 360 program that's got the Identity Vault like we were talking about earlier as well.
Okay. And
so we have a mixture largely because we work with DoD computers and they have a set suite of technologies that they buy. Norton's one of them, McAfee, Trend Micro. For the Mac, I use Sophos. So it's really, you have to do something and make sure it stays up to date. That's really the key.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree. So Sophos is free for all Macintosh users, and then Windows Defender or Microsoft Essentials is free for Windows users, and they're both very good programs. And then, like, for your mobile devices, the Lookout is a really good product for your Android.
And you were talking during the break about sort of the security capability, the built-in security capabilities of iOS versus Android and
absolutely.
Yeah. I'll just ask you, which is better for security?
Sure. So default for the home user, you know, when you get it out of the box, the Apple devices are more secure just because they're closed. It's a closed ecosystem. They don't allow just everyone to write programs for them. And so by default, they're more secure. But you can make the Android devices just as secure. It just takes a few, you know, additional steps when you buy it. Take it out of the box, look at an article, and add the antivirus, add the password, and then you're good to go.
So like Lookout is an example
right.
of that.
In fact, Lookout comes by default on all new Samsung devices just as one of the options.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so they're starting to bundle it because they know security is important, and they don't want their devices hacked either.
John, do you know what security?
I use Microsoft Security Essentials, but, you know, we had General Votrin on the program sometime back, and she made some rather poignant remarks about the sequencing of how you go about setting up a new computer. She commented that you need to have that computer ready to go on the Internet before you plug it into the Internet. Most people turn it on. Or plug it in and then turn it on. And she says that could be really, really bad. Would you all like to speak to that?
Well, sure. I mean, it doesn't take but just a few seconds. I mean, someone, you know, the criminals are scanning the internet, you know, every second. And when they see a machine that's not patched or doesn't have antivirus, they're going to attack it. And I think the statistic is something like a minute and a half. If you plug it in, it's going to be infected in a minute and a half if it doesn't have up-to-date antivirus or firewall, you know, turned on. Something else you can do, though, is on your home router. I mean, all of us have home wireless, and there's free services like Norton DNS that's free for home use that you can change two settings on your wireless router. I know that may sound technical, but it's really not. There's a one-page PDF that they put out on how to do that. And if you change your DNS settings on your router to go through Norton, then it's just another layer. Whereas if you get a phishing email and you click on it, then Norton's going to scan it, and they say, hey, nope, you shouldn't go there, and they're going to block it. So it's just an additional protection, and it's free.
All right, you got to go through that one more time. That you folks, he's going to say something really important. Go ahead and say that.
So most all of us have wireless routers at home, and there's a little number on there that you can go to. You bring up a web browser, and it says you need to go to this address. And usually there's a sticker on the side of your router. If it's Time Warner or UVerse or some sort of router, you can type in that address to your web browser. It'll come up with a little nice web page, and it'll have a little setting on there that says DNS, and that just means that's where the computer is going to go to look to like an address book, like a phone book. When you put in a website, it knows where to go. If you change those two numbers to go through Norton, and that's just one, there's multiple ones, but Norton is free, then when you type in an address and you go to a certain site to shop, it's going to check that first to say, have other people reported that this is a bad site? Has there been bad stuff on this site? Oh, there has been. Okay, I'm going to block it. I'm not going to let you go there.
Yeah. So there's most families have IT directors, shall we say.
It's
so
called a teenager.
They might be right. They might be able to pull that off. Now, what I'd really like to do right now is I have this cool sort of human network exercise I do where you get a, you know, if you got about 10 people, you can sort of give each one a role. You're a computer, you're a router, you're a switch, and then we could demonstrate this for you. And we'll do that later. I'm going to get everybody here in this room, and we're going to demonstrate this for you, John,
okay,
out in the hallway.
All right.
When we're done with the show.
All
if
right.
We had video, we could do it. You know, if we were live video,
right,
we could do that
this
right now.
This is going to be a very,
right
very clear picture, but go ahead.
Yes, should be fun. And you notice how I slipped a pedagogical concern into the show, right? So one more question, a fun one, I think. Are any of you expecting either buying your own or expecting from someone else a new device from Black Friday or Cyber Monday or on December 20th?
I am not. I'll
5th or whatever date
the ice.
You observe.
I am not.
You're
I
not.
I think my wife knows better than to buy me electronics.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So we're a hard crowd to please.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the lesson of that is our significant others know that we know kind of know what we want. My wife will be laughing right now because that's certainly true for me. So what are some, we've talked about how to protect yourself. Are there some other technologies maybe? What's new that's being developed that might help with this problem?
So I was looking around and I saw this article about the 25 best inventions of the year for 2013. One thing that was really cool stood out was with regard to the password topic and the vault topic we were just talking about. You know, the world knows humans have a weakness in memorizing complex things, and passwords can be complex. So what Motorola has done, now owned by Google, is they created this edible password pill. And the way that works is you swallow this pill once a day. It consists of a tiny chip that uses the acid in your stomach to turn it on. Once it's turned on, it emits an 18-bit EKG-like signal that can be detected by your phone or your computer. So essentially, your body's turned into the password by this little pill that you eat once a day.
Is that like gastrointestinal encryption?
Well, we just invented a new new name here on the show, didn't we? You know, when you say something that people have a hard time understanding, sometimes in psychology you have to say it again,
yes,
right, for them to get it. So I'm just going to repeat this, right? So
okay.
It's a pill.
It's a pill.
And just like a pill you would take as medicine or whatever, and you swallow the pill, and it goes down into your stomach. But the pill has a computer
chip.
On
mm-hmm.
it, okay, and we'll come back to the health of this in a minute.
So that part, that part is not new. You know, physicians prescribe little chips that people eat, and it you know does cameras
okay.
in your system so they can see inside. But this is used a little differently.
Yeah, so it's generating a signal,
correct?
Right? Yeah, it's generating a signal, and your system just like eats the chip and so forth.
I think I've eaten more unsafe things than this. I'm still here. Maybe that's why I had to get my surgery. I don't know. But, yeah, that's the deal, is a little emission comes out of your body, and you're just like, you know, not just like, but in analogous to the way a Bluetooth, you know, reads your phone or connects there. There's this little connection made for transmission. And so you arrive at your computer, and the signal that's emitting from your stomach, which is now the vault, right, becomes your password.
That's really amazing. It's really, I mean, from a technology standpoint, not much different than carrying it in your pocket, right?
And along with that is the parallel effort for wearing tattoos that are now your password.
Oh, my gosh.
So, well, now, we've had this where we inject pets with these little chips all the time, and so this is really just one you eat instead of one you eject. Now, yes. Are we going to get to a point where we inject this chip into people as a permanent thing?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, it's not quite the same thing, but similar stuff's been done in Japan, where, like, they use RFIDs to carry your credit card information.
RFID.
Your identity.
What's an RFID?
RFID. It's what you're putting in your pets. A lot of times, those of us in the security world have them in cards that we use to get an entry into buildings and stuff with. But so, you know, that technology is out there, and it's not really that far-fetched that they couldn't just put a chip in. And I've even heard of maybe some people doing that, I want to say.
Yeah, but isn't it really readily copyable? I mean, like if I go through a scanner, then if it gets my RFID, then they can copy it.
Well, interestingly enough, I'm actually a member of SAHA, the San Antonio Hackers Association, and someone brought into a meeting a couple months ago a device that they had bought from a Chinese company where you could literally walk within a few feet of someone who had an RFID and click it, and it would read the RFID and copy it to a card for you. So, yes, it is quite hackable.
Wow.
Not safe at all.
Wow. And San Antonio, that would be the San Antonio Ethical Hackers Association, right?
Sure, you say
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe let's hope so.
This is maybe where we get into a discussion of the NSA, but we'll just move. We'll move right along here. So we've got about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 minutes left to talk about the implications of all of these things we've been talking about today. Cyber Monday and gadgets and devices we buy and security. But what does this mean what does this mean for education? What sort of folks do we need in industry? What do we need our students learning? What skills do we need our students to have so that we can protect ourselves against these things? And, you know, so for Tarian, for example, I noticed on your website that you make basically 3 or 4 claims about the nature of the work that you do for clients, that it will show expertise, that it will show creativity, that it will show agility, and that it will show communication skills, right?
Yes.
And, you know, this is not what many people think about when they think about cybersecurity. It sounds very technical, right? But yet it seems from reading these things that there are other concerns that you have as a CEO of the workforce you're going to bring in, yes?
Right. So one of those we talked about before was the design factor. Much like the questions John's re-asking for us to translate in a different way, we deliberately design our messaging because it doesn't work unless you send and the receiver receives and understands. So we deliberately design teachable material in a very deliberate way so that it's easy to understand and it looks cool. You know, a lot of the workforce today is, you know, younger and they're learning sooner. And so if we're going to attach ourselves the right message to protect our country's critical infrastructure, that's what it really winds up being about. The water systems, electronic grids, all of those things we take for granted on a day-to-day basis, if we're not communicating properly to the youth of America so that they can get on board and help do the things our country requires us to do to protect it, then we're missing the boat. So that's the key, is making sure, you know, with respect to design, we do the right messaging.
And you know, something in the messaging you talk about on your website is the delivery of, I believe it was termed as command presentations, right? You're talking about military command,
right?
I assume, right? And that you have deployed a solution, but now you need to brief, right? Or maybe you're getting ready to deploy or you're proposing, right? And you're going to brief, right?
Right.
And so now you have to communicate, right? Well, to communicate that, you need your design people,
yes,
talking to your technical people so they can understand what it is you're going to present, right?
Yes.
And so you need them to be able to talk to one another. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I'm a big fan of the infographs that are out there because it's amazing how much information you can present in a small space that's really impactful. Edward Tufte is my hero in this regard. He is a real big proponent of deliberately placing key information in a small space to get the message across.
That's what you mean by infograph.
Yes. Yes. Infographs, if you type in the term infograph online, you see tons of examples. USA Today does a great job every day on their little stats in the bottom left-hand corner of the paper. They're really good at displaying relevant, meaningful information in a very easy-to-understand way.
Yeah, and one way to say that, there's data and then there's knowledge, right?
Correct.
One of the common ways to say that. And you also have some books, you know, that the company has kind of been built on some, I don't know how you would say it, mantras or...
Yes. So the biggest one, which is the foundation of our company, I'll quickly talk about this one. It's the Dream Manager. The basic message of that book is this. Your company can never become the best version of itself if your people aren't first striving to become the best versions of themselves. And the way you become the best version of you is when you reach your personal, not the business, when you reach your personal hopes and dreams in life, when you start achieving them and checking them off, you become a better version of you. And so as a result, our company now has two people whose name tag says Dream Manager. We deliberately manage every person's dream to fruition because there is a connection between personal hopes and dreams being realized and the success of the business. That's how you win the war for talent. And I didn't make it up. I'm just copying the book. It's a great one to copy.
And so the name of the book, again, is?
The Dream Manager by Matthew Kelly.
That has another name out there. It's called Personal Projects Enterprise Strategy. It's been written before, but the fact is that it's the concept that the individual, if they don't achieve, the company is not going to achieve.
Correct.
Elliot, you mentioned in past programs that personal computers is the number one way that people get into business computers. We keep talking about the youth. I've got an 87-year-old mother-in-law out there who is internet active, if I might say that. And I'm wondering, do we need to look out for our senior citizens as well as our younger people?
Absolutely. They're the key targets for these scams because they haven't been raised on the computers and they're very vulnerable. So that's another goal of ISSA is to go out to these senior centers or, you know, again, anywhere where they have a large group of individuals and to teach them, to show them the very basics, just to have antivirus, to let it auto-update, and so that they shouldn't have to protect themselves. Again, and if you go to our website, alamo.issa.org, and click on Child Safe,
yeah, she calls me all the time and says, should I click on this? And I say, well, the answer is, if you needed to call me, the answer is no.
That's right. That's right.
So Elliot, I want to give Elliot and Red we've got about a minute, maybe a little bit more. From an education standpoint, Elliot, certificates from ISSA, other things you do for the community?
So, no, absolutely. It's great that we can help out any way that we can when we go out and do these presentations for businesses and for schools and with the cyberbullying and all that's going on as well. We want to help. We want to help the people protect themselves.
And to get hold of you, how do they do it?
Go to our website, alamo.issa.org, and there's a button that says Child Safe. If you click on that, it will email us, and we'd love to connect with you.
And off you go. And, Red, you've been at Lutheran High School doing mentoring for Cyber Patriot. Yes, what was that experience
like?
Well,
I'm a sponsor, and it's really fantastic because I'll tell you what I think a lot of people don't grasp is the power of the Internet. I mean, this medium is so powerful that you can take a kid from Podunk, Oklahoma, and this guy can be a global expert for any number of companies. My 14-year-old cousin is employable because he knows stuff that adults don't understand.
Excellent.
And that's a beautiful thing, I think.
Excellent. And there goes Mission Impossible starting and restarting as we exit now Systemic Tech City USA. I want to remind everybody about the new Systemic Geek Bus. If you're interested in helping us with the Geek Bus, you can contact us at info@systemic.org. That's SASTEMIC.org. info@systemic.org.
Okay, time to say goodbye for another week on the Tech City USA radio program. Stay tuned in a little bit for Cy Griffey, a PhD of STEM Biosys on the Movers and Shakers program. And I'd like to ask you this. Remember, as we go into Thanksgiving, people may forget what you say. They may forget what you do. But they'll never forget how you make them feel. We'll see you right here next week on Tech City USA Radio.